inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden.
In this week's edition of Garden Talk, we focus on fungus control. And with us on the line, as usual, is Master Gardener Ed Byarski. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Matt.
And first of all, before we get into fungus control, there's a kind of, I guess, a sort of fungus that you're kind of interested in, right?
Well, I am interested in finding out if there's folks who do mushroom walks, mushroom identification. And you mentioned something about a mushroom or fungus Facebook page of some sort locally, because with the weather that we've been having, there are a lot of mushrooms popping up, and there will be. Of course, there's lots of different ones. I know certain ones that I am comfortable with to eat, to pick and eat, but I'd like to know more. And there's some that I've seen recently on with all the wood chips that the tree pruners have been generating. I've gotten a lot of them, and there's usually the year after I get a pile of them, suddenly there's lots of mushrooms coming up. I'd like to find out if they're, well, edible or not, but would like to learn more.
Okay.
So if somebody can call me or let me know, contact me somehow, that would be great.
Now, we want to focus on controlling the fungus that we don't want to eat. And what does it look like? I mean, how do you tell if you have like a salmonberry or a raspberry plant that's has fungus?
So, yeah, we can control basically in a small area, maybe, hopefully. There are so many different kinds of fungus that live in the soil. The spores float off in the air. And, of course, mushrooms are just the fruiting bodies of this large fungus organism, which is underground, all the mycelium, which are there. What we see in the gardens, there's a lot of powdery mildew, which happens when the right conditions of moisture and cool temperatures or moisture and warm temperatures happen. It looks like white powder, just like it sounds, on leaves, and salmonberries have it. I've seen it on strawberries. I've seen it on dusty miller plants, which are already look kind of powdery, that are an ornamental. And then fungus, there's a great other common variety we might see in our greenhouse or in the garden, is commonly called gray mold. Looks exactly like it sounds. It's fuzzy gray stuff that can grow on the leaves or stems of our plants. And once that gets established, it's difficult to control. For a lot of these, the best thing we can do is to remove. If we see fungus-infested leaves, if we can remove them and put them in the garbage, don't throw them into your compost, because that's just a great place to keep growing more of it.
So just put it out in the trash then.
Yeah, exactly. Get rid of it. I mean, it's pretty tough to, you know, bag it and burn it or something like that. Something we can use that's cheap and safe as far as a spray. There are fungicides out there that are available locally. But some of those have to be very careful about using them and how to use them and when. And of course, they say spray a fungicide after every rain or when rain is expected within 24 hours. So, I mean, we'd be spraying every day, which is unrealistic and putting too much pesticides into the environment. But using a baking soda spray, which is safe, which is cheap, and it's simple to make in a spray bottle, whether you have a small problem or in a larger sprayer, in a 1-quart container, 1 to 2 tablespoons of baking soda, a couple drops of liquid soap, and then fill up with water. And with that, you do, because the baking soda doesn't completely dissolve. It does to some extent, but not fully. You'll see it settling out too. You do want to shake it regularly as you're spraying it on the fungus affected leaves, usually, or plants.
And
ideally on the tops as well as the underside of the leaves, since both may be affected. And I've just recently been doing this on some apple trees, small, luckily not too large apple trees, that I know get some apple scab, which is one of the many different kinds of fungus here, in the hopes of reducing it, and so I should have nicer apples later on in the season.
How about some preventative measures, like maybe thinning out some of the plants so you get some sort of air circulation to prevent that sort of thing?
Absolutely. That's really one of the best things we can do. It's commonly seen, you know, common in greenhouses where we have too many plants. We planted them too close together. This year, my tomatoes and cucumbers, I'm not having that problem because they've grown so slowly because it's been so cool and moist. So I don't have the crowding issue, and I'm really trying to leave more space. But yes, leaving things more open, and that applies to the pruning of the fruit trees, like apples and cherry trees too, so that they aren't so, the leaves aren't so thick that we get a good breeze, you know, a breeze through, which helps to dry things out if it's, well, if it's a dry breeze. And it also lets more sun in, again, to both dry the leaves off after a rain, as well as let the sun in to hit the fruits and make more sugars and give them more color so they are tastier.
Okay. Ed Byarski, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Matt.
Ed Byarski, Master Gardener, with this week's edition of Garden Talk, a weekly feature here on KTOO during Morning Edition. It's 9 minutes before 8 o'clock.